T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Just details, nailing the details, miscommunications, and we feel like we've grown so much from that game, and so we're excited to get the chance to go back there. And a lot of us said it then after the loss. We said it's okay, we'll be back here. So it all works out.
It's the Chuck and Winkler pregame show with Ryan Horvath on AM 1250 and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Hello. Good morning. Let's go. Let's go.
Happy Tuesday morning, January 14th. It's the Chuck and Winkler pregame show. I'm Ryan Horvath, producer of the Chuck and Winkler show, host here for the next hour until 6 a.m. when Chuck and Bart both arrive into the studio. Chuck back in town. Spent the day yesterday in Green Bay after covering Packers Seahawks in the divisional round. Packers, as we all know, on to the NFC Championship, where they'll face off against the San Francisco 49ers in a rematch. In a game that didn't go so well a couple months back, you just heard right there from Packers running back Aaron Jones saying they're a completely different football team this time around. So what concerns you guys the most about the San Francisco 49ers this upcoming Sunday? Is it head coaching, Kyle Shanahan? Is it the offense that could score at will? Or is it that pass rush led by rookie Nick Bosa, who has 9 sacks on the season? 414-799-1250, that's where we start today. You can find us on Twitter at 105.7FM The Fan, on Facebook at 105.7FM The Fan. Find me on Twitter personally at Ryan Horvath, RyanHorvat, no underscore, nothing like that. Just Ryan Horvath, just flat out. You can find me right there on Twitter. Anything you missed today, any other day, you can catch on the radio.com app, 414-799-1250. Once again, tweet at the show at 105.7FM The Fan. A busy day, and a quick reminder for the best Packers coverage, keep it tuned into The Fan as we talk about the Packers-Niners NFC Championship game all week long. The Packers just one game away from the Super Bowl, and we'll hear all about it coming up later on this afternoon when Packers Pro Bowl left tackle David Bakhtiari makes his regular appearance on the Wendy's Big Show on a Tuesday at 4:35 to talk about that win over the Seahawks, their upcoming matchup against the 49ers, and the flu bug that knocked out Brian Bulaga on Sunday. The guy made it out of the concussion protocol. He's beat a torn ACL. He's beat numerous knee injuries, all types of injuries, but the flu knocking Brian Bulaga out. So hopefully everybody healthy now in Green Bay and that flu bug kind of moving along and getting the hell out of there. 414-799-1250. Don't forget, though, David Bakhtiari joining the Wendy's Big Show today at 4:35. Chuck and Winkler coming up 6 to 10. We'll hear from Michael Lombardi at 8 a.m., Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, former NFL executive and GM. Michael Lombardi will join the show at 8 a.m., and he had a hot take 2 days ago, on Sunday, against the Seahawks. Heard him on a podcast talking about Elgton Jenkins, saying that he struggles a little bit. Elgton Jenkins, though, however, has not allowed a sack all season long. Want to hear from Michael Lombardi a little bit on this Packers offensive line. Mike Clemens joins the show today at 9:30, live from Green Bay. We'll get the latest from our embedded Green Bay reporter, Mike Clemens, at 9:30 a.m. Bill Michaels with you guys today, 10 to 2. He'll be talking with Burke Griffin from WRTV in Green Bay, as well as Damon Bruce from 95.7 The Game. Damon does the afternoon show over there. Great show. He will join Bill at 12:35. The Wendy's Big Show has you guys covered today from 2 to 6. Sage Rosenfels, former NFL quarterback, does work with 670 The Score, as well as Score North. He will join the Wendy's Big Show today at 2:48. They'll talk some quarterback play. Aaron Rodgers coming off a solid performance. We'll hear a little bit from Aaron later on in the program. Also, we're going to hear from Packers head coach Matt LaFleur, who had his weekly press conference, his Monday press conference yesterday, talking a little bit about the upcoming matchup with the 49ers, where he'll face off against his brother-in-law. He will face off against his brother, I should say. He'll face off against Kyle Shanahan, a good friend. Going to be a good matchup. David Bakhtiari, as mentioned, 4:35 on the Wendy's Big Show, and then Mike Clemens joins them as well at 5:35. So we got a full day of coverage once again as we begin to preview the NFC Championship game. Yesterday, mostly we recapped the win in the divisional round over the Seahawks, so today we'll begin to focus on this 49ers team. 414-799-1250. I want to know what concerns you guys the most, because nobody is giving the Packers a shot in this game outside of myself. The Packers open up as 7-point underdogs, plus 2-something. I think 258 now. It's came down a little bit on the money line, so if you guys are into gambling, into betting, you want to take a chance on your Green Bay Packers, a good price right there. You lay $100, you could be getting at least 250 back. Myself, rough gambling night last night. Not going to talk a whole lot about this, but great national championship game last night. At least the first half was great. Clemson gets out to a 17-7 lead, and then Joe Burrow just took over for LSU, the Heisman winner. 5 touchdown passes, ran for another score, finishes off one of the more dominant seasons in college football. So last night, if you guys are just waking up, you probably went to bed because that game didn't end until 11:30. I'm on my second Red Bull already this morning because of it. But LSU does beat Clemson last night, 42-25. So Trevor Lawrence loses his first game as a starting quarterback. Joe Burrow, an undefeated season. He'll be the number one pick in the draft. He will be a Cincinnati Bengal, and he's so good that he may even turn that franchise around. Like, even the Cincinnati Bengals can't hold Joe Burrow back. That kid is ridiculous. Maybe we'll do a podcast on that game and on the upcoming draft coming up here, because today we're focusing all on the Packers and this upcoming matchup with the San Francisco 49ers. Yesterday, Matt LaFleur took the podium for his weekly Monday press conference, and they asked him right away. No time to celebrate for Matty Ice. Asked right away, what went wrong against San Francisco a couple weeks back?
Certainly, I don't think we played our best that day, and you know, you got to give them a lot of credit. That was probably a reason for that. That's a really talented football team, and we know that, but in order to compete with them, in order to have a chance to beat them, we're going to have to be at our best, and that's everybody, all 11 on that field, and it is a big challenge, but certainly one that, you know, I think our guys will prepare for and be ready to go.
I mean, it can't go any worse than the last meeting in San Francisco when you got blown out and you only scored 8 points. I mean, the first drive, Aaron Rodgers fumbles the football. They get great field position, and they punch it right in. So Matt LaFleur was asked, there's a lot of issues. What will be changed this time?
I think we'll look at everything. You know, we adjusted a little bit of the travel, but for the most part, it's going to stay relatively consistent. I've talked to a lot of guys in terms of, you know, the sports science, in terms of how can we have our players prepared, ready to go, from what it's going to take in terms of their bodies. If we can keep it as normal as possible for our guys, that gives them the best chance to be at their optimal performance level.
Pro sports is so crazy because you have sports science. And remember when that first came out on ESPN and you'd watch a guy hit like a 108-mile fastball and just like the genetics and all that fun stuff about athletes and just the different things that they do nowadays, like to take care of their bodies. And speaking of taking care of your body, Matt LaFleur asked about that illness. Brian Bulaga knocked out of the game on Sunday. Danny Vitale's been dealing with the flu as well as an injury. Are they getting any healthier as we prepare for the NFC Championship game? And just, what are we, a couple days away now?
Yeah, that's just something that we're going to have to deal with. I thought our guys did as good as possible. I was really happy with our athletic training staff, with our doctors. We kept a lot of guys that weren't feeling well out of the building. So hopefully that's behind us, but we'll see.
Now, what sucks about the flu is that thing just lingers and lingers and lingers, and there's different strands of it, which makes me a little nervous because I've had the flu once this year, and it wasn't as bad as it sounds that it is right now in Green Bay, where it's knocking guys out of games, even a guy like Brian Bulaga out of a game. A lot of questions coming in yesterday, and you guys can give me yours right now, and I'll answer them. 414-799-1250, tweeted the show at 105.7FM The Fan. A lot of people calling in yesterday saying, these are pro athletes. Hook these guys up to an IV. How is this spreading? Matt LaFleur was asked that yesterday. If this does continue to spread, what could they do to keep it from getting to everybody? I mean, it hasn't hit Aaron Rodgers yet. Has he been living in a bubble? We don't want Aaron Rodgers. We don't want Devontae Adams. We don't want Aaron Jones catching this stuff.
Just anybody that's feeling ill, we're going to keep them away from our guys. And we've tested all these guys for the flu. And, you know, a lot of the cases, it wasn't the flu. I think Bulaga's a prime example. I think it was just a 24-hour bug or whatever it was. And he's feeling better today.
Maybe a little food poisoning. Got to check what these guys are eating. 414-799-1250. Tweeted the show at 105.7FM. The Fan on Aaron Rodgers and Jamal Adams. Jamal Adams. I'm sorry about that. Devontae Adams. Jamal Adams. the safety from the New York Jets, not in Green Bay. But Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams, they hooked up multiple times on Sunday. In fact, Devontae Adams is a Seattle Seahawks killer. You go back to the regular season matchup last year that I continue to bring up, 12 targets, 10 receptions. He beat up on the Seahawks once again this Sunday. And they changed a couple of those routes. I mean, you heard it on that final drive. Aaron said, Devontae, I need you to make a play. I need you to make a play right here. And here's Matt LaFleur on Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams making those pattern adjustments.
That's years of practice together. And those guys were clicking yesterday, and we needed it because they made some huge plays down the stretch. Obviously, it was apparent on those two touchdown catches, but there was just a lot of critical key third downs where they came through.
Speaking of third downs, the Packers were so damn good on third down. And if you want to watch a championship team win a championship, you saw it last night from LSU. Now, granted, that's a college football game, but how good was Joe Burrow and the LSU Tigers on third down? That's how you win games. Move the sticks, pick up first downs. So why did the Packers convert so well on third down on Sunday against the Seattle Seahawks? Something that's been a little bit of a struggle throughout the season.
Yeah, I think our guys were confident in what we were asking them to do, and ultimately they went out there and executed. And it wasn't just, you know, the concepts or whatever. It was up front blocking. We had some running backs like Aaron Jones stepped in there on a couple of those pressures and were able to stone the blitz, and, you know, our guys up front did a good job.
The game plan was wonderful. Even the in-game managing, not as bad as it's been. I mean, Mike Pettine got carved up in the second half, but that's to be expected when you're playing soft zone coverage against Russell Wilson. He's gonna beat you with his arm. He's gonna beat you with his legs. He's arguably the best quarterback in the league right now. I'd probably put him 1B next to Patrick Mahomes, and it's very, very close still. Mahomes obviously pretty young. But Matt LaFleur now just a game away from the Super Bowl. 14 wins on the season, a 13-3 regular season, wins his first game as a head coach in the playoffs. When did he sense that his players began to buy in? Because if you guys remember the culture in the Green Bay locker room in years past, not the same. Guys have really bought into Matt LaFleur's system. These guys get along. They go out to dinner on Wednesdays or Thursdays. The linemen, the defensive players, even Aaron Rodgers hanging out with guys in the locker room. When did Matt LaFleur get the sense that guys bought in?
I think pretty early on, you know, there's nothing like reinforcing that than going out there and winning games. But I've loved this crew from the day I met all these guys, and I really think that they've done a great job coming together and playing as a team.
Now, I think the reason, so when they made the move and everybody wanted these young head coaches, I mean, we know Sean McVay and what he's done with the Rams, and we see all these young guys, the Cliff Kingsbury's getting hired. But besides being innovative minds and bringing over a new offense, a college style or a pro style or a different style offense, where you're able to spread the field and scheme your way down the field, like Kyle Shanahan, for example, even when San Francisco was horrendous because they were beat up and Jimmy Garoppolo was out with a torn ACL, what did they do? They moved the football. They racked up yards and they scored points even with a beat up football team, because the NFL today, it's all about scheming your receivers down the field. That's what the Rams do better than anybody. Cooper Kupp's a good receiver. Robert Woods is a good receiver, but they're not great wide receivers. But every year you look at their yardage, you look at their touchdown numbers, and it's just ridiculous because of Sean McVay's system and the way they scheme their way down the field. And that's the difference between what we saw with the Packers in years past with Mike McCarthy, who I still think could be a good NFL coach. But the reason these guys have bought in, and younger guys have bought in, I feel, is because Matt LaFleur is only 40 years old. All these guys in the locker room, Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, these are young kids outside of Tremont Williams, Aaron Rodgers, Brian Bulaga, and a couple of the other guys, Mason Crosby, who are a little bit older. It's a young team. So Matt LaFleur brought in a new atmosphere, a new chemistry with these guys. They relate to him. He's a young guy. He's kind of cool. But you can't forget about Brian Gutekunst, who has done a lot to fill spots on this roster. He brought in the Smith brothers. He brought in Adrian Amos. He drafted 3 rookie wide receivers last year. Hopefully he brings in a couple receivers. I mean, we saw some really good receivers last night just in that national championship game. This NFL draft is going to be stacked for receivers, especially in the first round. I mean, I'll take 4 guys that I saw just last night in that game alone. But Brian Gutekunst continues to fill spots on this roster with playmakers. And Matt LaFleur talked a little bit about that yesterday as well.
Goody and his staff do a great job, and they're always trying to look at ways to improve our football team. And, you know, sometimes it's, hey, we're going to make this move, and other times it's, what do you think about this? And but the communication's always there. And thankfully, he's made a lot of great moves. I give him a lot of credit for our success. I mean, we wouldn't be where we are if he hadn't made those moves.
Now, a lot of those moves, obviously, were in the offseason. I brought up the Smith brothers. I brought up Adrian Amos. I brought up even Billy Turner, who struggles at times, but Billy Turner's been a very valuable asset on the offensive line for the Packers. But how about the addition of Tyler Irvin, who only carried the ball two times on Sunday, but on that jet reverse, he's able to make some plays. He's able to make some plays on special teams. I'm a big fan of Tyler Irvin, who's getting some increased playing time. And Matt LaFleur talked a little bit about Brian Gutekunst picking him up and the process of him playing a larger role, which began pretty much last Sunday against Seattle. We saw him a little bit in Week 16 and Week 17, but I think we might even see him a little bit more against the 49ers.
Kind of happened organically, you know. Obviously, you can see the talent when he's a returner, but you also see it in practice, whether he's working with the scout team and then just watching his body movement and knowing his background. It definitely afforded us, because typically we've only dressed two halfbacks, so we started giving him some carries as an emergency back.
Now, you guys know I want to see some Dexter Williams, mainly because I'm a Notre Dame fan and I know what Dexter Williams can do when he actually understands the playbook and when he's healthy. But in the short sample size we've seen of Dexter Williams, not quite sure that he's ready to be a difference maker. I love Jamal Williams. I want a little bit more of Jamal Williams, but Tyler Irvin is kind of a change of pace back. He does kind of the same thing that Aaron Jones does. He's fast. Matt LaFleur just brought up the kick return game. He's been solid on special teams. Hell, I could have returned kicks and punts better than what the Packers were dealing with in the beginning of the season when they had, what, -8 yards returned or whatever. But Tyler Irvin continues to become a bigger part of the offense, but he's also been a quick study. So is he going to get more chances? Matt LaFleur talked a little bit about that.
You watch him and watch his progression and see how easy he's picking things up and how fast he's learning the offense. And then you start, you know, expanding that role. And he's a unique talent because he has some of that same versatility as Aaron Jones has. So, you know, we'll continue to try to mix him in within our offensive scheme as well.
So Packers 49ers coming up this Sunday, two teams that like to do similar things, and that's because Kyle Shanahan and Matt LaFleur have spent a lot of time together. They both use kind of, they do some certain things similar. Now, Kyle Shanahan, obviously a master of the run game. Not too many offensive minds can do what he does. He's one of the best, I'm going to say, ever. I mean, you look what he did with Matt Ryan the year that he was in Atlanta, and Atlanta went to the Super Bowl even. He made Matt Ryan look like an MVP, like an all-pro. And I like Matt Ryan. I think he's a good quarterback. But Kyle Shanahan made him look like a Hall of Famer. The other thing is both teams like to use fullbacks, and the 49ers have skill position players at the fullback position, at different positions that could do different things. And Matt LaFleur talked a little bit about that.
I think he's extremely valuable for them. You just don't find too many fullbacks that have that versatility where he can block, and then he can sneak through, and you can get him on even the second and third levels, and he's catching passes out the backfield. They've got a good complementary group. When you talk about him, Kittle, some of those receivers, Sanders, Deebo Samuel, it's a really talented core of skilled players.
Deebo Samuel, Kyle himself at the fullback position. I mean, they are just stacked with offensive weapons. 414-799-1250. What concerns you the most about the San Francisco 49ers? It seems like everybody's already got the opinion out there that this could be a blowout, that the 49ers are just going to roll over the Packers. Why do you guys think that? Is it the pass rush? Is it Nick Bosa getting pressure in Aaron Rodgers' face? Is it the secondary, guys like Richard Sherman? Is it the offense and that run game with those plays that Kyle Shanahan draws up? Is it Kyle Shanahan himself? 414-799-1250. Tweet at the show at 105.7FM, The Fan. Now, Matt LaFleur, first-year head coach, picks up his first playoff win, wins 13 games in his first season. But we see it every once in a while, Aaron Rodgers on the bench or Aaron Rodgers on the sideline, sometimes not so happy with the calls. We hear Aaron Rodgers talking about making audibles, things like that. In his first year, does Matt LaFleur take suggestions on plays from players like Aaron Rodgers, some of the veterans like Devontae Adams, etc., or does he have final say in everything?
If it makes sense, why wouldn't you do it? It doesn't matter where it's coming from. You know, we've got a lot of assistants up there that come up with great plays. It doesn't always have to come from one person. And I think, you know, you got to rely on the collective unit. And it doesn't matter if it's necessarily a player, a coach, whoever. If it makes sense, why wouldn't you do it?
No doubt. So Matt LaFleur moves on to San Francisco, one game away from the Super Bowl in his first year as head coach. But before we move on, how does it feel to get that first playoff win in your first season at only 40 years old?
You know what? It felt pretty normal, to be honest with you. It just, there was one time where I looked up and, you know, our crowd was waving all those towels. And I was like, that is pretty cool. But for the most part, you're locked into the moment. And it's just about, you know, coaching football.
414-799-1250. What concerns you most about the San Francisco 49ers this Sunday in the NFC Championship game? I got one thing that nobody's really talking about. I'm going to give that to you guys next here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. It's the Chuck and Winkler pregame show.
He had the stature, the gravitas, and the alpha to lead a group of men as a coordinator, not a coach. The knock on Matt LaFleur is nobody's quite sure if he can stand in front of guys in an offensive meeting and own the room.
Those right there, the words of Colin Cowherd after the hiring of Matt LaFleur, who has proved everybody wrong. 13-3 in his first season, 1-0 as head coach in the playoffs, 414-799-1250. But now he faces his biggest challenge yet this season, an NFC Championship meeting on the road in San Francisco on the West Coast, a place he went to just a few short months ago and got punched right in the mouth and blown out. So hoping for a better result this time, 414-799-1250. What concerns you guys the most about San Francisco? Is it Kyle Shanahan? Is it that pass rush that gave Aaron Rodgers nightmares, or is it their high-powered offense? 414-799-1250. I want to start on the offensive side of the ball with San Francisco because, especially as of late, everybody continues to talk about that defense. And now again, here's Matt LaFleur a little bit on Monday at his press conference.
Yeah, I think our guys were confident in what we were asking them to do, and ultimately they went out there and executed. And it wasn't just, you know, the concepts or whatever. It was up front blocking. We had some running backs like Aaron Jones stepped in there on a couple of those pressures and were able to stone the blitz. And, you know, our guys up front did a good job.
Now there's Matt LaFleur talking about his offense and what they like to do. And it's very similar, the reason I played that clip, to what San Francisco likes to do. And if you look at it, the 49ers and Baltimore were the only teams in the league this season to finish in the top five in both total offense and total defense. So their offense is the real deal. We continue to talk about their defense and the pass rush and Nick Bosa. They're starting to get healthier. But that offense is the real deal. Now, the defense, they rake second in total defense. They give up only 281 yards per game. And they're fourth in total offense. They average 381 yards per game. So they're giving up only 281, and they're averaging 381 through the ground and through the air combined. They're also second in points per game and eighth in points allowed per game. So they score about 29.9 points per game. So to beat San Francisco, Aaron Rodgers is going to have to be vintage Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Jones is going to have a big day, and you're going to have to find ways to get both Aaron Jones and Davante Adams the ball in space. Now, I'm not really telling you guys anything you don't know there, but you do have to score some points against San Francisco. They're second in points per game at 29.9, second to only Baltimore, who was eliminated last week. They had the MVP quarterback in Lamar Jackson, but they're also eighth in points allowed per game. They're averaging only 19 per game. So Green Bay is going to have to be solid offensively, especially when you look at the fact that San Francisco has outscored their opponents by 169 points this season, which ranks third in the league behind only Baltimore, who outscored their opponents by 249 points, but it didn't really matter because they lost in the playoffs, and New England, who outscored their opponents by 195 points per game, also eliminated. So what's the domino effect right there? Maybe San Francisco goes down, but in the regular season, they didn't just beat their opponents. They beat up on their opponents by 169 points, third in the league behind only Baltimore and New England. 414-799-1250. So what concerns you guys most about the San Francisco 49ers? We go out to the phone lines. We'll go to the north side, talk with Ram. Ram, happy Tuesday morning, my man. How you doing?
What's going on, Ryan H?
Not too much, man. Stayed up too late watching that football game last night. I was hoping that Trevor Lawrence would make a throw. People want to rip Aaron Rodgers for throwing the ball all over the place. Trevor Lawrence missed 12 throws last night. High. Joe Burrow ripped him up. But back to the Packers. How you feeling about Sunday, man?
Well, we got Aaron Rodgers. And as far as the regular season, throw all that out the window. Because we saw what happened to
Baltimore and New England, yeah.
I think it's with the team that got the superior athletes and the ones that have been there. And I think right now the two best quarterbacks left is Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, hands down. And I just don't have no faith in Jimmy G. I think if the Smith brothers and we get Alexander and Kenny King just ready to step up, I think we can pull this out. I really do. I mean, I could see Rodgers going more to Jones underneath instead of looking for the long pass. And, you know, with his receivers that he don't have faith in going downfield, but they catch stuff underneath. I think we get A.J. in space and Adams in space, I think we can pull this out.
I think so, too. And I think they're going to pull it out. And that's just not speaking as a homer. I just like Aaron Rodgers to finally win in San Francisco, win in his hometown. And I trust him over Jimmy Garoppolo. What does scare me is, the run game.
About it, Ryan.
Is the run game, man. You know,
I don't even talk about it on Twitter and like that. I mean, Rodgers is a two-time MVP. He got the best quarterback rating of all quarterback all time. And that stuff just don't happen by a fluke.
Right.
And if people don't believe it, Ryan, all they got to do is go online, go to Bleacher Report, go to NFL Report and put up some of the highlights, and there it is. So I'm not even listening to none of the sideline noise. I think Roger got a chance to put himself into legendary history, and he's going to do it.
I agree with you. The one thing that does scare me, and we've been talking about this for months, both you and I and multiple people on this station, is this. I worry about the weapons outside of Devontae Adams, especially with the defensive backs that are in San Francisco because they get a lot of coverage sacks. I mean, San Francisco, they have the best defensive line in all of football. I mean, they rank fifth in the league in sacks with 48 during the regular season. Again, that's the regular season, but guys were beat up throughout the year as well, and they were playing their best pass rusher as a rookie. Granted, he was the second pick in the draft, but
true.
I mean, that's what scares me a little bit is you're going to have to find ways, you're going to have to scheme these guys open down the field.
I think Graham is going to step up, but I watched the San Francisco game with the Vikings, and if the Vikings team had a little bit more faith in itself and played a little bit more together, they had chances really to take the lead. And Frisco played sloppy in that game in the second half. They were real reckless. And I don't want people not talking about that. I saw that. They were really reckless. And I really believe the key is you got to get some hands on Jimmy G. They got to knock him down one or two good times.
No, I completely agree.
You will get a pick six, I guarantee you.
I agree with you. I mean, they just want to play within the offense, and I hate the term game manager, but that's pretty much what they want Jimmy Garoppolo to do.
That's what he is.
They want to run the football there. Right,
yeah,
right.
That's what he is.
And they have the backs to do it. That's the thing. I mean, they got multiple backs that could pop you for 100 yards. So Packers are going to have to play mistake-free football. No turnovers either.
Yeah, but our defense is good with Kenny Clark. We got the Smith brothers. We got Alexander. We got King. And I think they can stuff the box and make it a grind-out game. If it's a grind-out game, I think – that's where we got the advantage in the run game. That's what I think.
I think so, too. Appreciate the phone call. Hope to hear from you again this week,
man. Keep on doing your thing, man.
Thanks, man. 414-799-1250. He drops off. You guys could pop on. If you're trying to get through, give me a call back. I'll be able to get to your phone calls here within the half hour as well. 414-799-1250. Tweet at the show. Also at 105.7FM, The Fan. That's what Nick did. Nick said, this game scares me. Love my Pack. I don't think they could pull this one out. They do keep it close for three quarters. San Francisco wins 31-17. Now, I'm not going to do my prediction yet. We're going to do the same thing we did last week because we came up with a pretty good hypothesis for that Seattle Seahawks game. We went position by position. We went Packers offense against Seahawks defense. I told you Devontae Adams was going to have a huge day. He had a huge day. I said Aaron Jones was going to have a big day. He scored two touchdowns in the first half on the ground. I would like to get him involved in the passing game more. San Francisco might spy him. They're probably not going to allow a whole lot of that. So we're going to go through thing by, you know, game by game, position by position. Told you guys that Kenny Clark was going to have a big game. He had a huge first half against Seattle. I said the Smith brothers were going to be able to get to Russell Wilson. That's what they did. I told you guys the Packers were going to play that soft zone coverage because I just know that Mike Pettine didn't want to blitz Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, the most blitz quarterback in the league, and he makes people pay. So we pretty much broke everything down, and we threw out the score, and we almost got it right. As listeners and as myself, we'll continue to do that this week. It'll be a full preview once again. Now, today we're just focusing on what concerns you guys the most. 414-799-1250. Tweeted the show at 105.7FM, The Fan. So again, the San Francisco 49ers, good on both sides of the ball. Second in total defense, fourth in total offense, second in points per game, eighth in points allowed per game. They outscored their opponents this season by 169 points. So they don't just beat teams, they blow teams out. Outside of Seattle, who plays them tough, and teams within the division. 414-799-1250. Packers running back Aaron Jones on what went wrong against San Francisco last time.
Just details, nailing the details, miscommunications, and we feel like we've grown so much from that game, and so we're excited to get the chance to go back there. And a lot of us said it then after the loss. We said it's okay, we'll be back here. So it all works out.
And you love to hear that. You love to hear that after that game in the locker room, after getting blown out, guys said, hey, we're going to see these guys again. 414-799-1250, back out to the phone lines. We'll go to the South Side, talk with Mike. Mike, how you feeling, buddy?
Pretty good. Yourself?
I'm all right. I'm a little tired. Stayed up for that game last night, but I'm good to go. I'm ready to go. I mean, I get off work at 10 a.m., so no big deal for me. How about you?
Yeah, I'm pretty tired myself, too. I watched the game. That was a pretty good game.
It was a good game for, what, three quarters maybe? Joe Burrow is ridiculous. That kid is the real deal. I could talk about him for 5 hours today because he may be the best college quarterback I've ever seen in my life. And the confidence from that kid is crazy. But we're talking Packers 49ers. What concerns you most about San Francisco?
The offensive line protecting Aaron Rodgers, like I was saying the other day. You know, I just hope that they keep Lewis in and always have him on the field to block with wherever Bosa is, help out the tackle. I don't care. Keep him in. That's why he's here. He's here to block. Have him there to block. Chip him with a running back. I don't care, you guys. Hit him with four guys. I don't care. He should not disrupt the game at all. Not one bit.
I agree with you, man. I think the Niners have the best defensive line in football, and the crazy thing about it is it's not just the talent that they have, but it's the depth. They rotate their pass rushers. I mean, fifth in the league in sacks. They had 48 sacks in the regular season. They had four players, though, with at least 6.5 sacks. If you watch that game against Minnesota, Kirk Cousins never had a chance. People were ripping Kirk Cousins, and especially in Minnesota, but that was a tough ask for Minnesota to knock them off. They sacked them 6 times on Saturday.
But their line isn't as good as our offensive line.
Oh, no, it's atrocious. Right.
And Kirk Cousins is nowhere near Aaron Rodgers.
Completely agree with that.
He had plenty of chances to make plays in that game, and he did what Kirk Cousins does. The only time Kirk Cousins did anything good was when he beat Russell Wilson in Wisconsin with that Hail Mary.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah, pretty much. That is pretty much all. That's the biggest game that he's won, I would argue.
Yeah, really.
Does the coaching matchup scare you at all? LaFleur, second game in the playoffs as a head coach, but Kyle Shanahan has looked really, really good this season. Or do you think LaFleur is going to figure it out and make the in-game adjustments to win this time?
I think LaFleur is a damn good coach. I think he matches up pretty well against them. So I'm going to have to give a push on that one.
Appreciate the phone call, Mike. Hope to hear from you again this week, and we'll get those predictions in, buddy. Thank you, buddy. 414-799-1250. Tweet at the show at 105.7FM. The Fan, that's what Lewis did. Said Packers roll 42-0. Aaron Rodgers is going to beat Jimmy Garoppolo in his hometown. That's what I hope to see as well. What a storybook finish to the season it would be for Aaron Rodgers. Back to that defensive line, though. Fifth in the league in sacks, they had 48. Four players with at least 6.5 sacks. So they rotate their pass rushers. They destroyed Kirk Cousins. They sacked him 6 times, if you guys were watching that game last Saturday. Eric Armstead, who was a first-round draft pick back in 2015, had 10 sacks this season. And he's a guy nobody really knows. I mean, it was a first-round draft pick in 2015. Everybody kind of forgot about him because San Francisco's been so bad. But he had double-digit sacks for the first time. He had 10 sacks this season, had his breakout year. The reason that he had those 10 sacks, besides talent, is the depth that I'm telling you guys about. Now, Nick Bosa is the best player on that defensive line. He's only a rookie out of Ohio State. We all saw him in college. He was a freak. He was a genetic freak. His brother's a freak. His brother gave Aaron Rodgers nightmares earlier this season as well, Joey Bosa, who plays with the Chargers. In fact, both West Coast trips this year for Aaron Rodgers ended terribly. And the two losses, I should say, to the Chargers and then to the Niners and the Bosa boys had a lot to do with both of it. Now, Nick had 9 sacks this season. Once again, he was the number 2 overall pick. He is probably going to be Defensive Rookie of the Year. If he doesn't win it, then they should just throw that award right in the trash. Besides them, defensive tackle DeForest Buckner had 7.5 sacks this season. In fact, he has 19.5 sacks since the start of 2018. He was a little bit banged up this season. He's 6'7". There's absolutely no way to block him. 7.5 sacks in limited action this season. 19.5 sacks since the start of 2018. The Packers are going to need Brian Bulaga healthy for this game. Billy Turner's going to have a big game. David Bakhtiari, who we'll hear from on the Wendy's Big Show today at 4:35. Everybody's going to have to block their ass off because this guy is 6'7". He's got power, he's got length, and he's tough to deal with on the inside. Oh, and then let's not forget about D Ford, also banged up throughout the season. Defensive end who was picked up for a second-round pick from Kansas City last offseason. In fact, that's all it took to get Dee Ford, a second-round draft pick from San Francisco. He had 6.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, and he missed more than 5 games with a hamstring injury. Packers lucked out. That's what scares me a little bit. The pass rush was very intimidating last time in the loss with Nick Bosa, with DeForest Buckner. But you didn't have to see Dee Ford. He missed that game. He had a hamstring injury. He missed 5 games this season, still had 6.5 sacks and 2 forced fumbles. They could rotate their defensive linemen. That's just going to make life miserable, possibly, for Aaron Rodgers. 414-799-1250. Up next, we'll break down the San Francisco 49ers offense a little bit and why I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo will have to do a whole lot for the 49ers to win this game. 414-799-1250. It's the Chuck and Winkler pre. Welcome back to the Chuck and Winkler pregame show. I'm Ryan Horvath, producer of Chuck and Winkler. The boys coming up 6 to 10. We'll be joined at 8 a.m. by Michael Lombardi, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, former NFL GM and executive. We'll get his take on the Packers' victory over the Seahawks and on this upcoming matchup against the San Francisco 49ers. Again, the Packers open up as 7-point underdogs. Nobody giving him a chance to win. You go back to that Week 12 loss, the Packers only scored 8 points, but Aaron Rodgers was confident, even after that loss, that they could go back to San Francisco when they see him next time and pick up a victory.
I still like our chances. I think we have the makeup to bounce back from these kind of things and put ourselves in a position to potentially come back here and play again.
Now, he's going to have to be perfect, and he's going to have to stay clean. That's going to rely a lot on the offensive line. I just went back last night because I'm a psychopath, and I watched San Francisco-Minnesota right before I watched the national championship game. And the thing about the Niners, man, against the Vikings, they didn't blitz. They barely blitzed. I'd say they blitzed maybe on 15% of the plays, but they got good pressure with 4 different guys. And pressure affects quarterbacks, we all know. And I think the Vikings coach, Mike Zimmer, even said that himself. But they don't really blitz a whole lot. They just get pressure on that defensive line. And it's because they got 4 guys that could get after the quarterback. And they rotate about 6 or 7 guys on that defensive line. We just heard from Aaron Rodgers, Packers quarterback, who will have to be perfect. On the other side of the ball, Jimmy Garoppolo may not have to be perfect because of the running game that they have in San Francisco. But the one thing that Jimmy Garoppolo has done since he came into this league out of Eastern Illinois, and even at Eastern Illinois, is he wins football games. Whether it be the 2 games that he had to fill in for Tom Brady when Brady was suspended for the first 4 games of the season, Garoppolo started off undefeated, then he got injured. New England had to bring in Jacoby Brissett. Man, what a bad problem to have that year for New England. Your quarterbacks were Tom Brady, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Jacoby Brissett, all starting quarterbacks in the NFL. But Jimmy Garoppolo, the one thing that he's done since he's came into this league is he wins football games. Missed most of last year with that torn ACL, but he is 22-5 in his career. He's 20-5 with the San Francisco 49ers since he came over back in October of 2017. He was 2-0 in New England as Tom Brady's backup quarterback. He threw 27 touchdown passes this season, 13 interceptions, with a QB rating of 102. So he's going to get a chance to prove his doubters wrong. But say what you want about Jimmy Garoppolo. Doesn't really have to make a whole lot of plays down the field. When he does, he has weapons all over the place. Emmanuel Sanders at the wide receiver position. Deebo Samuel, who's also a burner. Can't wait to break down that matchup. Who's going to cover who with Jair and Kevin King? Who's going to cover who? George Kittle is going to give the Packers nightmares. Hopefully we don't see Blake Martinez and any coverage situation. But Jimmy Garoppolo, 22-5, which is just remarkable in his career. 20-5 with the San Francisco 49ers. And then he was 2-0 in New England as Tom Brady's backup. But this season, 27 touchdown passes, 13 interceptions, with a quarterback rating of 102. So who scares you the most on the San Francisco 49ers team? The defense? The offense, the playmakers, you give me your answers. 414-799-1250. Tweet at the show at 105.7FM, The Fan. Packers 49ers, it's so fitting that this is what it's going to come down to in the NFC Championship game. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, especially for Aaron Rodgers, what could be a dream season for him at 36 years old. You win 13 games with the first-year head coach in Matt LaFleur. You avenge a playoff loss, an NFC championship loss in 2014, which was a disaster against Seattle. You exercise those demons. You win at home. You beat Russell Wilson. Now you get a chance to beat San Francisco. And you look at this rivalry, and I'll call it a rivalry, and I know it's not a division game, but I hate the San Francisco 49ers. It goes back to Colin Kaepernick running all over the Packers. It goes back to that wild card game that I always tell you guys that I spent the money on. I went freezing cold, and I knew the Packers were screwed right off the bat in that wild card game because it was like 8 degrees out, and Colin Kaepernick came out, and he had no sleeves on, and then he ran for over 100 yards. We could have wrapped that thing up. Micah Hyde dropped an interception, and the 49ers beat the Packers that year in the wild card game. One of two times they beat Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs. But if you go back, the Packers and the 49ers have met seven times in the postseason since 1995. So how fitting is it that it comes down to Packers, 49ers in the NFC Championship game? Seven times in the postseason these two teams have met since 1995, and Green Bay actually has the 4-3 lead. You wouldn't think so because we think of the disastrous finishes, but the Packers were 4-1 against the 49ers with Brett Favre as their starting quarterback. Hate to make that argument, but Brett Favre, 4-1 against the San Francisco 49ers. Aaron Rodgers, 0-2. You go back and you look at it, and Favre and the Packers beat San Francisco in the divisional playoffs in both 1995 and 96, the NFC Championship game in 97, and then a wild card game in 2001. Favre's Packers would only lose to the 49ers in a wild card game. You'd have to go back to 1998. Meanwhile, Rodgers and the Packers lose in the divisional playoffs at San Francisco in 2012. That's the game that I'll never forget, just because I wasn't sold on that Niners team either, because if you remember, Alex Smith began that year as the starting quarterback. Jim Harbaugh pulls him, puts in Colin Kaepernick, and the 49ers were really good that year with Alex Smith as their quarterback, but then they took on a whole new level when Kaepernick took over with the read option. They had Frank Gore, who was the tight end, Vernon Davis, Michael Crabtree, so they had a bunch of playmakers, but I wasn't really sold on them at the time, and then Colin Kaepernick ran all over the Packers. At the time, I thought he was going to be one of the greatest football players I've ever seen in my life. Like watching Joe Burrow last night. That's how I feel about him right now. Or watching Lamar Jackson a couple weeks back when he's playing at a Lamar Jackson MVP level. It's like you can't stop this guy because he could beat you with his legs. If you keep him in the pocket, he's able to beat you with his arm a little bit. I remember at the time honestly thinking Colin Kaepernick might be one of the best quarterbacks ever to play the game. Here we are years later, and he's out of the league. But yeah, you go back to that divisional game at San Francisco in 2012. That was an embarrassment. And then the game I just talked to you guys about, that was in 2013, that wild card game. 414-799-1250. What concerns you guys most about the San Francisco 49ers? We talked about the quarterback position. We talked about the pass rush. Oh, let's bring up the fact that they run for 144 yards per game, which was second only to Baltimore, who rushed for 206 yards per game with Lamar Jackson and Mark Ingram, two guys that went over 1,000 yards this season. So San Francisco could do it. They averaged 4.6 yards per carry, which was eighth in the league. You go back to that wild card win over Minnesota. They ran the ball 47 times for 186 yards. They only threw the ball 19 times. That's what I'm telling you guys. Jimmy Garoppolo, we can't look at this matchup like Aaron Rodgers versus Jimmy Garoppolo, because Garoppolo is not going to be asked to do a whole lot. He threw the ball 19 times against the Vikings. They ran the ball 47 times for 186 yards. Tevin Coleman is healthy. He's looking really good right now. The offensive line is healthy. Tevin Coleman, a season high in carries, 22 carries against the Vikings, 105 yards, and scored two touchdowns. So they got multiple ball carriers, multiple guys that could get it done, and Tevin Coleman in Kyle Shanahan's offense. And we all remember what they did together in Atlanta the year they went to the Super Bowl, starting to look really, really good. So is that what concerns you guys the most? Stopping the run? Packers did have problems with that in the beginning of the season. They fixed that problem. Is it George Kittle going across the middle? Because I could see George Kittle catching at least eight passes in this game for $150. What concerns you guys the most? We'll get to your answers, get to your social media reaction, and we'll hear from Chuck and Bart on the roundtable coming up. We got Chuck and Winkler coming up 6 to 10. Again, a quick reminder, we'll talk with Michael Lombardi, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider. He joins us right away at 8 a.m., and then we'll hear from Mike Clemens in the 9:30 a.m. range as well. Live from Green Bay, Mike Clemens. It's the Chuck and Winkler pregame show here on 105.7 FM. Thank you guys for another 10 minutes. Chuck and Winkler coming up, as mentioned, 6 to 10. Michael Lombardi, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, right at 8 a.m. We're going to talk Packers Seahawks, break that one down, also begin to preview Packers 49ers. The celebration stage over after yesterday. We had 24 hours to celebrate. Now we look ahead. This segment on The Fan is presented by Sound Decisions. Selling more car starters than anyone else. Get your car warm in the morning with a remote car starter from Sound Decisions. Check out their Facebook page right now where they have all their details. Nothing better than a remote car starter this time of the year. Welcoming back now to our station here, Chuck Freeman, who's back from Green Bay, as well as Bart Winkler. Hey, guys, we're going to talk a lot of Packers football, but I just want to ask you both if you watched the national championship game last night. You know I am just dying to talk about Joe Burrow. He's the best quarterback to ever play the game. I always say that I wouldn't want the Packers to draft a quarterback, but if somehow they want to trade up and get the number one pick, I'm all for it.
Why don't you just – Chuck and I will go home, because I think that without any commercials and any direction or any plan, if we just left – Horvat could do 4 hours on Joe Burrow because he is in love with this guy.
Would it be praising Burrow or ripping on Lawrence today? That's what I want to know.
I would probably rip Lawrence, because if we're going to rip Aaron Rodgers when he overthrows guys, Trevor Lawrence missed on 11 throws all high. What the hell was wrong with him last night?
Yeah, but Burrow is so good.
Yes.
Burrow is so good. The guy is amazing. I mean, they said it on the broadcast. Herb Street said on the broadcast, he plays like a linebacker. Kind of reminds me of a guy who used to quarterback before Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre. They said the same thing about Brett Favre. And I'm not comparing him to Favre.
Right.
But the same thing. You know, a guy who was really reckless with his body, would take hits, and would not be afraid to run the football. Not exactly real, real quick, but a guy who made plays, man. Burrow, they overcame that slow start last night. They were down 17-7. And, God, I wish I would have went to LSU on the live line there, because I still thought they were going to – I had LSU in the under.
Joe Burrow broke his rib in that game, and you can't tell me otherwise. He had a broken rib. He didn't even go into the locker room at halftime. He was riding the bike. He was throwing the football. You saw it on that final play where they get into the end zone right before the half as he steps up in the pocket, and he just takes a shot. What I love about this kid, besides he has great hair and the confidence, I've never seen a quarterback play with that confidence. He reminds me of Aaron Rodgers, young Aaron Rodgers, like 24, 25-year-old Aaron Rodgers, especially the year after the Super Bowl where they go 15-1. That's what he reminds me of right now with this confidence level. He could do it. How do you beat Joe Burrow? Because he could beat you in the pocket. Mm-hmm. Those throws he makes, have you ever seen ball placement like that ever? He puts the ball exactly where it needs to be. And then if you do force him out of the pocket, he could beat you with his legs, and he doesn't even slide. He takes hits.
I know it's only 5:53 in the morning, but I'm going there. I'm going there with this. I am appalled with the reaction to Joe Burrow and how good he is and how amazing he is and how he's the best quarterback of all time collegiately.
Ever. Yes.
And how you can't think of any good, bad things to say about him, and how everybody is just fine with it. Yet, if you look to the pros, there's a guy who had maybe the most terrific season in a long time at quarterback, Lamar Jackson, and then he loses this weekend, and people are celebrating the fact that he lost. I've got people telling me Lamar Jackson was being shoved down our throats this season. Where did we ever see that? Meanwhile, Joe Burrow, good old boy next door Joe Burrow, gets all the attention and all the accolades, and nobody's sick of Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow older than Lamar Jackson, by the way. I'm just saying there's something there, and I don't like it.
You're not turning this into a white-black issue, are you?
I totally did.
Oh, please.
I think it is there with Lamar Jackson. Bart and I was like really arguing with people on Twitter
about
this weekend.
What?
Lamar Jackson loses this game, and everybody... not everybody. I can't say everybody. Everybody gets offended.
I have not heard that at all.
There's a lot of people that are happy that Lamar Jackson lost that game because he was being shoved down their throat.
Oh, God.
How is he
no.
being shoved down their throat more than Joe Burrow? Then you have this part of the argument.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Lamar Jackson, I just, you know, the way he plays, we can't crown him too early. I mean, he's gonna get hurt this way. You can't crown him too early. And then you've got Joe Burrow, who does the same stuff.
Yeah.
He's the greatest college quarterback of all time. All the Bengals are so lucky. He's going to be sensational for the next 10 years.
All I hear is people praising Lamar Jackson. How about Mahomes? I don't hear Mahomes get any criticism. Oh, I wish Mahomes would have lost. All I hear is praise for Mahomes the last couple of days. I don't hear people praise. He's a black quarterback.
I'm glad that you went there really quick.
Yeah, he is. However,
I'm not getting into it.
No, let me get into it just really quick, because here was my argument. As people were telling me he's been shoved down our throats, that's the kind of pro athlete I want shoved down our throats, especially as the father of a six-year-old. And I'm not trying to get too corny here, but what a great role model for kids, because Lamar Jackson, as a quarterback, broke numerous records. He won a Heisman as a junior, or as a sophomore, I'm sorry. And people just discredited it because they said he's going to have to play wide receiver. Bill Polian said it. He's going to have to play wide receiver, or he'll have to play running back at the next level.
Yeah, no one's saying Joe Burrow needs to play wide receiver. So, why is that?
So he wouldn't even, at the combine, he wouldn't even work out as a wide
receiver. Joe Burrow's not fast enough to be a wide receiver.
I don't know, but Lamar Jackson told everybody, I'm a quarterback. So everybody told him, you can't do something. What did he do? He did it at an MVP level. His motto is, nobody cares, work harder.
That is a great motto.
That's the kind of role model I want for my kid. I don't care what color he is. I'm all for Lamar
Joe
Jackson.
Burrow, meanwhile, is smoking cigars in a smoke-free zone.
Okay,
nobody gets on him for that.
Whoever's coming after Lamar Jackson, if that's true what you're saying, then that's wrong.
Oh, check my Twitter.
People are doing it. No, but if people are doing it, it's wrong. You know, I mean, it shouldn't be a black and white issue, and it shouldn't even be Joe Burrow, a college quarterback, against Lamar Jackson, an NFL quarterback. And Burrow, I don't see him being a wide receiver in the NFL.
No, he's got the best arm I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's not going to be a wide receiver.
Oh, he should be a tight end then.
I don't know. But, I mean, I think he's good enough to be a quarterback.
No, don't say I don't know. That's ridiculous. Shut up, Bart.
No, he Lamar Jackson's a great quarterback. Mahomes is a great quarterback. Russell Wilson's a black quarterback. He's a good quarterback.
He may be the best quarterback in the league. You guys know how high I am on Patrick Mahomes. If you put Russell Wilson in Patrick Mahomes' offense, and I saw Ross Tucker, who, friend of show, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, has his show on Radio.com, which you guys should check out. I caught a little bit of it yesterday on the stream, and he was saying, I think that if you put Russell Wilson in the Chiefs' offense, he might actually put up better numbers than Patrick Mahomes, which sounds ridiculous. Russell Wilson, once again, earned my respect this Sunday, though. He is so damn good.
Well, they're both. All three. All four of the quarterbacks we're talking about. They're all. I mean, Burrow's got to prove himself at the pro level.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, Jackson already has. Okay. Even though he lost the game, I mean, he's a great quarterback.
He's going to win an MVP.
He's the MVP. I wish I would have taken
a
minus 250.
I'm just saying right now, I'm Joe Burrowed out.
Well.
Oh, no.
I'm absolutely Joe. I'm just sick of him.
Oh, I love him. I love Joe Burrow.
Well, just like a few years ago, I was Johnny Manziel out, and he hadn't done anything either. And where's Johnny Manziel these
now,
days?
Trevor Lawrence, with that beautiful lock of hair, you can shove him down our throats all you want.
No thanks. No.
You gotta be careful how I say that.
I'm not impressed. Last night.
Not a good college quarterback, except for last night, but no.
That'll do it for the pregame show. Chuck and Winkler up next, 6 to 10. Michael Lombardi, Radio.com, Sports NFL Insider, joins us at 8. Get those phone calls in now. Phone lines open, 414-799-1250, here on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.